It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The brewing battle over a porn expo in Dallas could be heading to court. Officials with the Exotica Expo say they plan to file a request for a temporary injunction against the city. Earlier this week, the Dallas City Council voted to block Exotica from the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center. An Exotica lawyer says that violates the group's First Amendment rights. He wants to bring the expo back to the city-owned center in May. Mayor Mike Rawlings has been one of the most vocal opponents of the expo. Brian Osley with UNT Dallas College of Law talked about the city's action today on Texas Standard, the public radio news magazine.
What they're saying is, you can't come to our house, i.e. the city's property. And so by putting on the expo in their house, on some level, there's an argument that they would be sponsoring this speech or this activity, and they don't want to do that.
Exotica calls itself the largest event dedicated to love and sex, filled with seminars, exhibits, and meet and greets with adult entertainment stars. After the council vote, city officials said another group expressed interest in holding an adult lifestyle event in Dallas. There are dozens of types of mosquitoes in North Texas. Some of these mosquitoes carry diseases like West Nile, while others could become carriers of the Zika virus. Still, others are harmless. Some say mosquitoes are misunderstood. KERA's Lauren Silverman caught up with a mosquito hunter in Denton to get the buzz on these bugs.
On the shelves that line a small museum on UNT's campus, there are all sorts of oddities. A bird embryo, a mounted raccoon, something floating in a jar.
That's a fetal pig. And,
but biology professor James Kennedy wants to focus on the world's most dangerous animal, the mosquito.
This is a reference collection that we've put together.
He opens up a box with dozens of mosquitoes pinned to a whiteboard. Each year, mosquito bites result in the deaths of more than 1 million people worldwide. Some of them carry malaria, dengue, chikungunya, West Nile, and yes, Zika. Still, Kennedy doesn't hate them.
I have an inordinate fondness for mosquitoes. That doesn't mean I love mosquitoes, but I respect them, and I look at the role that they played in world history and that they continue to play in world history, and I just find them fascinating from that standpoint.
Let's get one thing straight. Not all mosquitoes are the same. There are more than 50 types in North Texas alone, each with their own color, shape, and personality.
And so we'll have mosquitoes that are active at night. We have mosquitoes that are active during the day. We have mosquitoes that are active at the dusk. We have mosquitoes that live in ponds. We have mosquitoes that live what we call container breeding mosquitoes.
Okay, you get the idea. To better control the mosquitoes around us, Kennedy says we need to know what kinds live here. Both the mosquitoes capable of carrying West Nile and Zika live in North Texas. To get a closer look at the bug that's most recently been in the news, we pull out the microscope in a nearby lab.
So let's take a look.
All right.
Aedes aegypti, the mosquito that carries the Zika virus, has a black and white body with stripes on its legs.
When this is alive, it's a striking mosquito. You can pick it out.
It almost looks like a zebra with feathery antennae.
Those are receptors on there that allow the mosquito to hone in on its prey. So there's chemoreceptors on there, so they're picking up things like lactic acid from your body, different body smells, different odors.
Only female mosquitoes bite. See, they need a blood meal so they can lay eggs. And those clusters of eggs need water to hatch. Kennedy says it pays off to do a little cleanup around your house.
You're not just looking for a pool of water or a bucket of water necessarily. You're looking for those microhabitats where it might be a soft drink can. Mosquito came along, ovipositing in that soft drink can. Or your kids leave their toys out. You have your sprinkler system on. And it just takes just that fraction of an inch of water.
So why not just try and exterminate them all? After years dedicated to mosquitoes, graduate student Beth Hambrick is a passionate defender.
Everyone's always so quick to hate on mosquitoes, but they're so important in the ecosystem. They bring so much biomass and so much energy to different bats and birds, all these different creatures that actually prey on mosquitoes. So people that are so quick to dismiss them, they need to realize that they play an important part in the ecosystem.
In fact, mosquitoes have been on Earth for more than 200 million years. Some people thought we'd get rid of them with pesticides like DDT, but instead, certain species built up resistance. The lesson, Professor Kennedy says, is that we need to better understand the bugs to control them. And that starts with acknowledging there's no quick fix. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
To see a close-up of the zebra-striped mosquito that carries Zika, go to breakthroughs.kera.org. There is a new off-Broadway comedy about marriage getting its Texas premiere at Fort Worth's Circle Theater. It's called Clever Little Lies, and it's been favorably compared to classics by Neil Simon. Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks joins me now. So what's it about?
Clever Little Lies has two couples, a pair of middle-aged parents and their son and his wife who've just had a baby. The young guy tells his father that he's thinking of leaving his wife. He's completely torn up about it. But now he's burdened Dad with this secret, and Dad's not good at keeping secrets from his wife. Sure enough, Mom figures out something's wrong, maybe sexually, with the young couple. And Mom says she's just trying to help, but she does enjoy meddling. Here she is, played by Linda Leonard, grilling her daughter-in-law, played by Kelsey Melbourne.
You know you can tell me anything.
No, Alice, there are certain things I can't.
Like what?
Like what I do with your son in the
Oh, you do something with him in the
Well, you know, we did just have a baby.
And that's when the trouble starts. I have been there.
You've been where?
A new baby, a busy husband, your body going to hell.
That's typical of DiPietro's skills as a comic writer. The humor lies not so much in jokes, but in the tension, the back and forth. And the Circle production is expertly done. It's directed by Stephen Pounders. It has a crackerjack cast with Leonard and Melbourne, and with Bill Jenkins and Jake Buchanan as the two husbands.
Now, Clever Little Lies has repeatedly been compared to Neil Simon's comedies. Jerome, you'll have to explain because I've never seen a Neil Simon comedy.
Some listeners may find that incredible, but you're hardly alone these days. From the 60s through the 90s, Simon was the single most successful Broadway playwright ever. But it's a generational change. The fact is, Simon barely exists on New York stages nowadays. So to help you understand, calling a stage play a Neil Simon comedy, if it's intended as praise, that means the play is observant, well-made, it's got dependable laughs, no obscenities. But if it's meant as criticism, it means the play is mostly safe and bland. It doesn't really risk much.
So which is it with Clever Little Lies?
Well, DiPietro aims for the same sweet spot as Simon. What they both write are basically white, middle-class comedies of manners. Nothing deeper. Clever Little Lies is very contemporary with baby monitors and 50 Shades of Grey, but it stays focused on the same well-to-do little world that Simon did. These days, DiPietro knows he can't keep things as morally tidy and safe as Simon once did. So Clever Little Lies may end up affirming conventional marriage and fidelity, but there are angry profanities here and at least a lingering sense of unease over the costs of marriage and fidelity. Ultimately, to answer your question, DiPietro does play it safe, but not as safe as Simon.
You were mentioning earlier you were impressed with something else in Fort Worth.
Yes, American Epics, the Amon Carter Museum's new touring exhibition. It's a terrific reappraisal of Thomas Hart Benton. Benton was the great American mural painter of the 20th century. For him, murals told stories, so he crowded them with muscular, wiry, sculptural people all doing stuff. And the curators saw the similarities with what movie makers faced in telling stories using larger-than-life historical figures. Benton even worked as a set designer for silent films. So, the entire exhibition details the cross-influences between artist and industry. We get big reproductions of Benton's murals alongside videos of scenes from films like The Grapes of Wrath. But we also see how Benton's work declined into jingoism and poster-making. The exhibition feels a little overcrowded in this space, but it's the most fascinating treatment of Benton's work I've ever seen.
Thanks, Jerome.
It's a pleasure, Justin.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, low around 41. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 59. It's currently 66 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 67 in Tyler, 65 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.